Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It says the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. There's a kind of theology of fragrance going on here. Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly. Mary's extravagance mirrors, or is a symbol, a sign like the extravagance of wine at the wedding feast, the extravagance of Jesus' love poured out. And think now just a little bit about the disciples' feet, about how Jesus will wash them in just a few days. And we will experience that as well on Maundy Thursday. An extravagance of care, an extravagance of forgiveness. 300 denarii, it says. Now, some people say that's a whole year's salary, some even three. In any event, that's a lot of dough. Priceless. Jesus' priceless treasure, we might think. And the fragrance, like love, sinks everywhere. Every pore of the body, every sense. Every nook and cranny of the room is filled with the fragrance of this pure nard, like God pouring out love upon the world. These fragrances get into our soul, our consciousness. It is the extravagance of grace, grace upon grace, as we hear in the first chapter of this book. The extravagance of resurrection, of Lazarus lying in the bosom of Jesus, of all gathered around the table for dinner, a celebration of life. These fragrances, these smells connect us at a deep level with life, with the other, reminding us of relationships and loved ones. I remember the white shoulders my mother used to wear. Our men from my father's era with Old Spice. Are the clothing or pillows redolent with the fragrance, the memory, the love of those who have gone before us? Or perhaps our homes at Thanksgiving, or at Christmas with the fragrance of the tree, or one of my favorites, the Noel fragrance that draws us together in its richness, draws the whole world in. The smells of childhood, of home, of care, of peace, of family. I grew up in a lumber yard. I used to sleep on piles of lumber. I worked as a teenager in a lumber yard. The smell of wood is an agent and reminder of peace and home. There's a great connection between these fragrances and our deep sense of soul. I'm remembering a movie, maybe you know it too, the old movie called Michael, about a body archangel come to earth. He was irresistible. What was it about him? He smelled like cookies. Is that heaven? Or is heaven Iowa with the smell of corn outside the baseball field? Or the ballpark with the smell of hot dogs, which I experienced a couple days ago? It's all in the extravagance of connection. the truth of our being connected, all of us, to one another and to creation itself, to the Creator in the presence of the Christ, whom we understand to be present with us all, in the hearts and souls of us all, like the fragrance that filled the room of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It fills our hearts, our souls, our communities. Real presence, we say about Jesus. But Jesus also knows that this costly perfume speaks of the costliness of his death. Mary is saving the perfume, which she, whether she knows it or not now, for the day of his burial. In our story, Judas represents the very opposition or a scandal to the extravagance of grace upon grace. The extravagance of Jesus' love is opposed by all those who would kill him. How shriveled Judas' heart and soul are. The expansiveness of Christ is way too much for him. Of course, he's not the only one. After the gift of new life to Lazarus, the religious leaders who felt their power slipping, quote, took counsel how to put Jesus to death. And in the very next verses, if we read just to 9 and 10, after our story of anointing, the leaders plot also to put Lazarus to death. Jesus has come to offer life extravagantly. Not extravagant living, but the extravagance of life to all, in the plenitude of wine, of fragrance, of healing, of feeding, of forgiving, of resurrection. The whole first half of the book of John is about Jesus extravagantly offering life, redemption and forgiveness, healing and dignity, feeding and friendship to all. And now the costly perfume announces that the second half of the story will be about Jesus giving up everything for us, a strange glory, an unexpected extravagance, the crucifixion. And then the deepest and most powerful extravagance of all, forgiveness, to take into himself all the ways we have inhibited life. Takes upon himself the very stench of death itself, and then anoints us with forgiveness and resurrection life. And now, like Lazarus and Martha and Mary, we also come to the banquet to receive the extravagance of life, of relationship with the Christ, with God. And then in faith and forgiveness, we ask ourselves as we go forward, what extravagance scandalizes us in our society today? The extravagance of health care for all? A living wage for all? Welcome and dignity for all? Food security for all? All these things seem to be scandalous while we support the strange extravagance of guns for all. But in faith and forgiveness, as we leave the banquet to follow Jesus, perhaps we also then anoint the feet of those who are in need. Amen.